handouts here, and you'll see this in a minute, but I've got to highlight, I highlighted some other handouts. These we're going to probably read, but I'll let you know when we're going to do that, okay? Thanks. Well, it's great to have you all here tonight. I appreciate your faithfulness and your attendance. Tonight, we are going to consider two more of the attributes of God that we have been studying, and we're winding that to a close. Next week, I'll be here, but Chad is going to handle the next two attributes, and then there's another two attributes, I believe, after that, if I'm not mistaken. And then we will finished with this study of the attributes of God, and we'll see where we go from there, because I don't know yet. This tonight, we are looking at attribute number 22 and 23, the mercy of God as well as the grace of God. And these are interesting things to consider. And I'd like for us to do that and talk about the mercy of God. At the bottom of page 1, it says, mercy is God's compassionately withholding what we rightfully deserve because of our sin. And so we have then mercy given us because God has been kind not to give us what we deserve. And as a result, then, we have been shown mercy. This is not grace. Grace is very similar, but it's not the same thing. We'll talk about grace next. So let's study, if we can, this idea or this notion of mercy as we have on these scriptures that we've listed. We could have listed many more. As a matter of fact, I've done some more here. And let's look at these. So this is Psalm 25, 6 and 7.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord.
Okay. Proverbs.
He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion.
Okay, so this is the compassion that we get from God. And so let's read a verse that we saw this morning in the message this morning. This is Romans 9, 14 through 18. And we see this word mercy mentioned here.
What shall we say then? There is no justice with God, is there? May it never be. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then, he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires.
Okay, so the wonder is not that he withholds mercy from somebody, but the wonder is that he would provide grace to anyone. Let me repeat that. The wonder is not that he would withhold mercy from those. It is the fact that he gives grace or mercy to any one of us, because all of us are deserving of the wrath of God, which, by the way, Chad will be talking about next week. And so it is when he has given mercy that we shouldn't be surprised that he would give mercy. Well, we should be surprised that he would give mercy, because he was, in fact, we should all deserve death and separation from a holy God. And he has not done that. And this mercy is what he's done for us. This word mercy is eleso, which is E-L-E-E-S-O, which is the Greek word for mercy. And it's probably, I've probably got 25 references to that in Scripture. But I want us to read some of these references of this eleso, which we find in Scripture. And I've got just some, this is from the Pentateuch, I'm sorry, from the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the New Testament. And so we can see this word mercy in several passages. And so, guys, what we're going to do is that eleso, I'm going to do that Exodus 34:6, just to get us acquainted with the word. So Exodus 34:6.
Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth.
This idea of eleso is the word compassionate there. Let's read Micah now. We'll skip down one. Micah 7:18.
Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love.
Okay, this word pardons there is that who is like God, who is a God like you who pardons iniquity? Then let's read Deuteronomy 13:17.
None of the devoted things shall stick to your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy and have compassion on you and multiply you as he swore to your fathers.
Okay, this is the gracious mercy that God shows by his compassion. And then the last one, we could read many others, but 2 Kings 13:23.
But the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them, and he turned toward them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, nor has he cast them from his presence until now.
Okay. So now let's go back to your handout to Ephesians 2:4, and let's finish with this idea of mercy, this eleso, and we see this in Ephesians 2:4. Read that, please.
But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us.
Okay. And then Habakkuk.
Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy.
Okay. So the cry is for the mercy of God. I don't want what I deserve. I want your mercy. Titus 3:5.
He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. So this is the idea. Mercy is God's compassion. He compassionately withholding what we rightfully deserve because of our sin. So the explanation I've got here is mercy is often translated in Scripture as compassion, and that's true. When God chooses to act out of mercy, no one can claim any personal credit or merit for that. The twofold motivation for forgiveness of sin is God's mercy and his grace. Okay? And then mercy expresses an active choice by God to show mercy upon whom he would want to have mercy on. So the assignment is, what would happen to all men if God were not merciful? Let's go ahead and answer that together. I know you know the answer, but I want to hear you say it. What is the answer that you would give to that question?
Eternal damnation. Yeah.
You've got the mic. I'm going to let Grant answer. Go ahead.
We would get the wrath of God.
Yeah, we would get what we deserve, the wrath of God. Now, when I say we would get what we deserve, do you think really people believe that or not? They don't, do they? Why do they not believe that we deserve the wrath of God due to our sin situation? Why is that? Yeah, we have this notion that we are basically good people, right? And we are not bad. We're actually pretty good. As a matter of fact, we do a lot of good things. And all of us have this idea. We don't really see ourselves as God sees us. Anybody? Did I see another hand up? Okay, great, great idea. Yeah, we have a very limited view of how holy God is. And when we think of how holy he is, we think that we are kind of measuring up to that. But we have no idea how we don't. Yeah, Lynn, you had your hand up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So God is kind, and that's what mercy is kindness. When my kids or grandkids act up, sometimes I get upset, but I show mercy sometimes. And sometimes I don't. But because I don't really give them what they deserve, in my mind, I show them great mercy. And then you marry one that is a merciful person, which also helps, as I have done. So that's good. Okay, so mercy is God's kindness and His favor toward us, especially when we don't deserve it. That's what mercy is. And that's what He's given us in Christ. He has sent His own Son so that we would have the mercy of God and a vehicle for that mercy to be delivered upon us. So now let's talk about, in attribute number 23, His graciousness, okay, or His grace. This is Psalm 111 and 4. And then I have some others that we'll talk about, guys, as we get to them. I'm not going to. There's about 76 mentions of charis, which we find in Scripture, and this is the word for grace. And so let's just kind of try to get our idea and mind around that. I want to skip over in page 3. The grace is God freely and generously giving to us what we do not rightfully deserve. That's what grace is. By the way, grace is not Christ dying on the cross for our sins. That's not grace. That's a result of grace. Let that sink in. Grace is not Christ dying on the cross for our sins. That's a result of His grace. You see that? So let's go back and see if we can get our minds around the grace of God, which, by the way, I'll tell you right now, it's impossible to do. It's such a vast thing that we'll never understand the grace of God. I'll never understand it. But look at Psalm 111.
He has made His wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate.
Okay. Nehemiah?
They refused to listen and did not remember Your wondrous deeds which You had performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But You are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness, and You did not forsake them.
Well, that is an incredible verse. But grace is the unmerited divine, it's unmerited divine assistance. It's unmerited divine assistance. God has given us grace. Look at Titus 2:11-12.
For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age.
Okay. And now, we've got, Chris Gaskin read earlier, a very interesting passage out of Ephesians 2:4-9, because it has mercy and it has grace. And these are the translated properly. This mercy has been translated properly, and so has the grace been translated properly. So we have both ideas in Ephesians 2:4-9. So let's read this because it helps us get our mind around both concepts of His mercy and His grace. Okay?
But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast.
Okay. I'm going to have us read a couple other verses related to this idea, because it translates grace in another word, in other words that help understand it better. Look at Luke 1:30. Luke 1:30. And then I want us to also look at Luke 2:40 because it's translated in a similar fashion. So let's read Luke 1:30, please.
And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God."
Okay, this idea of finding favor with God is the idea of grace. You have found favor. If God has given you grace, you have found favor with Him. The question you have to ask, well, why? Why me? That's what I always think. Why did God show me grace and not everybody else or someone else? Why did He pick you or single you out for His grace? That is the notion of this incredible understanding of what grace is. It's His unmerited favor. It's a divine work that He gives you. It's His grace that He gives you, and you didn't deserve it. That's what is just hard. It's translated here, the favor of God. Let's look at Luke 2:40.
And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
Okay, the favor of God is the same word charis. It's the same word grace. It's the same idea that He has given us. And God's favor was upon him. The question I've got is, why would God show you favor? I know I keep asking that, but I really don't understand it. Why does He show anybody favor? Because we are vile. We are away from God. We are not what God wanted, and we are despicable before His holiness. And He does it because He wants to. Why does He pick those He chooses? Because He wants to. We could study this in Ephesians all day long, but it's the grace of God that just humbles us. It humbles me, that's for sure, because I don't understand why He would select me or did select me. Let's look at John 1:14. John 1:14, guys.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Okay, so it was saying of Christ that He was full of grace. He was full of truth. He was full of this kindness and mercy, i.e., the unmerited favor of God on humans through Christ, and that's what He was. And we'll read one more. There's so many others. Well, maybe two more. Acts 11:23.
When He came and saw the grace of God, He was glad, and He exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose.
Okay, so He saw what God had been doing. See, when I look at you, or I look at myself, or I look at my family, I see what God has been up to. What He's been up to is showing my family grace. And it humbles you. It breaks your heart. Because why did He do it to me? I think of Noah. And I think he had three sons. Ham was the one that was the black sheep, if you will, where all the ites came from that we've been studying in Joshua. But his two other boys had the touch of God on them. They were God had graciously shown grace to that family. When the Philippian jailer was saved, he says, "How shall I be saved?" And he said, "And his house, and all his household." He was saved, and all his household. And somehow, I see this grace. I have no basis for this other than observation. I see the grace of God going through families. I see it. It's not all the time, but I see it in families, and I see it come in and ride through families. And this is the grace of God. And He showed that in Noah's day. He showed that in the Philippian jailer's day. And certainly He has showed that in my family. I can say that. Let's look at Romans 3:24, and then we'll go back to the handout.
And are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
So this grace then is identified as a gift. And that's, we all know this, but we have to understand it afresh and new again, because it is a gift that God has given to you, the most valuable gift you could possibly ever have. And that's the great challenge for us, is just to understand something that's not understandable. We'll never understand it. At least I can't. Okay, so back on our handout, did we read Romans 3:22?
No.
No. Okay, let's read that. Romans 3:22 through 24.
Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus.
Okay. All right. And then let's look at the meaning, grace. Oh, we've already read that. Explanation. God's grace is both His unmerited favor bestowed on us and His divine enablement to respond to and serve Him. And I would even say it further, because we read so many of those verses this morning. God has given, by His grace, He gives you understanding about the things of God. You will hear things that other people cannot hear because God has given you grace. You will see things in Scripture that you will not be able to see unless God gives you grace. And that's just a fact. I don't understand that, but that is the way it is. People get it all of a sudden, and it's a light comes on. It's like walking into a dark room, and somebody turning the lights on, and all of a sudden you see everything that you formerly didn't see at all. And that's what grace is. That's why you understand Scripture, and why some do not. You know, I have friends over the years. I'm thinking right now, but he was an attorney. He is an attorney, and he was not saved, and actually His wife was kind enough to give a kidney to one of my best friends. And she did this. They were not believers at the time, but she did it because she was a kind person and matched up in terms of the blood chemistry and all that, matched up well. And she gave this kidney to John, my friend. And so I'm at the hospital. John's having the kidney transferred from her side to his body. And she gave him basically a new life because of this kidney transplant. And John, my friend, said, Paul, the husband doesn't know Christ. He doesn't even understand anything about what I'm interested in or any of the things that you or I are interested in. And so during the time that the surgery was being performed, I was able to share Christ as best I could with this man. He was a bright man. He was a very bright guy. He said, you know, I've studied all of that, and really just he had a lot of negativity about the Scripture. I understand what you're saying, but. And so it didn't really go very well. And so I said, look, unless God turns the light on in your heart, you're not going to understand what I'm saying anyway. And so my prayer is that God will illumine and give you insight into what the Scriptures mean and what they are about and how you need to be saved and how you need to have Christ as your Savior. And so we just kind of left it that way. And John went through surgery well, and his wife is now one less kidney. And so John consequently kind of adopted this family because they did not know Christ. And John has new life because of them and her kindness to him. And so about 6 months went by, and all of a sudden, and I say all of a sudden because I don't know how it happened, but this guy who formerly had so many doubts and so many problems and so many questions just completely changed. And he understood for the first time what it meant and why he needed a Savior. And it was because of the prayers of John and the prayers of those that were praying for him. And so here's the point, that people have heard this a million times. You know, people have heard it a million times, and it doesn't mean anything to them. You may have family that have heard it a million times, but it doesn't mean anything. They might just be as far away from God as they possibly can be. But let me tell you something. It is only God who can change a heart. And it's through the prayers of the saints of God that we pray for these people that we want to get it. We pray with passion that they will get it. But until God lays His hand on them, they cannot see. And they don't even believe anything you say because it's not what they want. And it's not what it seems to make sense in their mind. But in fact, that is the way God... So what do we do for that lost family member? What do we do for that person that's a good friend that we want more than anything else to understand? We can pray for that person and we make it a passion and we engage God to change that heart and we call upon Him in the name of Jesus to change that heart. And when that happens, and that's the only way it will ever happen, will that person be saved? And so that's the way we do it. We do the best we can because you know what? There's great hope in that. Because if many times, I know in the past, you may have thought, well, you know what? I can't share Christ. I'm going to mess it up and I'll say the wrong thing or it's not going to be exactly right on the scripture. Or maybe I've got it wrong and maybe I'll say it wrong. And so you have this idea of maybe missaying what the scripture or the gospel is really about. But I want you to know that that's not the issue. The issue is you can fumble it and fumble the ball. You can fall down many times. But it's only when the grace of God takes that poorly said testimony or that poorly way you said or tried to express the gospel, and He can take that messed up jumble of language that you said and He can make it exactly what He wants. And that's the grace of God. That's what it is. Explanation. God's grace is both His unmerited favor bestowed on us and His divine enablement to respond. And that's exactly what it is. And as a result of that, we serve Him with our lives. We serve Him with our hearts. We serve Him with passion. We serve Him because we serve Him when we're tired. We're serving Him anytime and every time He wants us to because He has done something for us that we could never do for ourselves. And He's saved us. He's thrown us a lifeline. And He's taken us from death to life. Grace is embodied in the person of Christ Jesus. Look at that. John 1:14-17. So let's read that, please.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a rank higher than I, for He existed before me.' For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ."
Yeah. That which was ineffectual, that which was the law, that came through Moses. But let me tell you something. The truth and grace came through Christ Jesus. And this is what we have in Christ. We have life. We have grace given us. And this is something to celebrate. You know, this information that we're studying tonight, I want to make sure we understand something. It does us no good to get this information, as sweet and as great as it is, and to just let it be our information. Until we share this with somebody else, till we tell this to a lost person, what we're doing in here tonight needs to have an application. And the application is this, that no matter how lost your friend might be, no matter how unreachable you think somebody might be, we need to share the grace of God to him because we can't change that heart. Only God can. And so consequently, we promiscuously share the gospel. That's what the application is to this. We share the gospel because it is God who does the saving. And it is God who changes lives. And our job, isn't that sweet? God has given us a job. He's given us a job to share our faith. And we do so knowing that the results come from Him. And that's what we would make an application for tonight. Grace overflows from God's goodness and His great love. The twofold motivation of forgiveness of sins is God's grace and His mercy. And we seek both of these as He has given them to us and to our families and to those around us and to this church. If God were not gracious, all men would die in their sin. And that's just a fact. And we would suffer in hell, separated from God, and rightly so. But God has given His grace to us. He did this before time, by the way. That's even what makes it more interesting. He did this before time was. He did not look down the corridors of time and see a decision you would make. No. He saw you and He said, I will have grace on that person. It's not something you ever did or ever thought about doing. It's only God who does that. And He's the one that changes the heart, and He saw you before the oldest star was ever hung. And that's what He did, because that's grace. And that's exciting. The assignment. What motivates God to act in grace toward us? Good question. What motivates God to act in grace toward us? That's a question. You have to answer that. Well, yeah. His glory? How would you mean His glory? How would that give Him glory? Yeah. Right. Yes, it does. Right. Renee, did He show you grace? He did, me too. In Ephesians chapter 1, why does God show His grace toward us? And the answer is, in Ephesians 1, someday we'll have time to study this, but He did it because of the kind intention of His will. It was something He wanted to do. It pleased Him to do so. And consequently, He did that because it pleased Him. Who knows the mind of God? Who can understand the mind of God? No one can. But it pleased Him to give you grace, and it pleased Him to give me grace. And there are those out there that we need to get this message of the gospel out to, because God is waiting. God is waiting for you and I to share our faith with as many as that will listen, because He is the one that does the saving, not us. And so we would share our faith to everybody that we come in contact with, not worrying about the results, because He is the one that will give those results or not. But our job, as we've been told in Scripture, is to share our faith as we go. Any comments, questions, or concerns before we dismiss tonight? Thanks for coming, y'all. Yeah. We're broadcasters. That's right. That's right. Yeah. 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 That's true. Any other comments? Love you guys. I love this church. I love my house. I have a cracked water pipe, but I love the plumber that came and fixed it today. So it's good. He gives us all kinds of good things. Lord, we thank You tonight for our family, our church family. We thank You for the word that's so sweet and so dear to us. And Father, we pray that we would move out of here and apply this across our workplaces, our school places, the places that we have involvement with people that don't know You, and Father, for us to share the grace of God to them. And Father, would You do a work in their lives, do a work in the lives of those in their families. I know there's, Father, people here in their families that they are very concerned because their son, their daughter, their brother, their mother, their father do not trust you as Savior and Lord. And Father, tonight I pray your hand would be upon those people. And Father, that you would do a work in their hearts and you would change that heart in an instant, in a miraculous way, Father, that they would see with their eyes and hear with their hearts. This I pray in the strong name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Good night, everybody.